For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here was Alex Bregman following yesterday's 4-2 loss to the Texas Rangers, kind of talking extemporaneously about the first half of the season, and gives big credit to his manager, Joe Espada, for the Astros' turnaround.
Stayed the same guy every single day, showed up to the yard ready to work, ready to compete, and didn't panic, just knew that we needed to play better baseball, and constantly reminded us that of how good of a ball club we are, and we're in a good spot now. So I think just staying the course overall and staying even keel throughout the whole thing, and continue to just show up every day and work.
All right, so that was Alex Bregman. It's got Joe Espada's back. Astros.
He's so low energy,
about as
man.
As glowing a report as you're going to get from Alex Bregman.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Settle down, Alex. That boy, did you have to hunch over walking out of the room after that one? Wow.
That is one of those cuts that looks a whole lot more energetic in the description of the cut. You know, like,
yeah,
Alex
yeah.
Bregman has Joe Espada's back. I think he's really good. He comes to work every day, and he's been the same guy, and he's, But Joe Espada has been in that clubhouse for a long time. I'm guessing he's very popular in there. Seth, my question to you, I declared myself out on Joe Espada a month or so. It was right after it was because of something he said, not something he did. It was during the...
He declined an opportunity to lambaste somebody, and you didn't like that. You wanted him to just go ahead and take a tense situation and really just dump kerosene all over it.
I think it was when Abreu was at the rookie complex, and he was saying things about Abreu down there that just made no sense. And I don't know if this was the trigger, but I know it was something that triggered me, was when he said, we just can't get to where we want to go.
Oh, without Jose Abreu. Yeah.
Like, man, I get having your guys back, but don't insult us with silly things like that. It could have been that. My question is, am I allowed back in on Espada now when I've declared myself out on Espada?
Yeah, well, you know what I had told you at the time was that this is the classic situation where when things are going poorly, you want to see the manager or the players or whomever else flipping out and throwing tantrums and act, hey, why don't you act more like the movies I've watched?
Right.
And yet at the same time, that you could easily use that type of behavior as like, oh, yep, you see, they're not professional. They're not calm, cool, and collected. He's lost the clubhouse. And I think for Espada, the hard part for whatever troubles he was having making the team his own or whatever else, it's impossible not to imagine that, man, him having to answer for Jose Abreu and him having to work Jose Abreu into the lineup probably made it hard for him to also feel like he had any sense of credibility in talking to the team about what needed to be done or anything else. And likewise for Dana Brown in some respects, that's where it just felt like, man, this does not feel like Dana Brown and Joe Espada are calling the shots in a lot of ways with Jose Abreu. And in the same way that, you know, John Singleton has twice now been a markedly better player when he's been able to have time to play every night, and where he's looked at as the guy, even as there's talk about, you know, potentially trading for a first baseman, like Singleton's been a different guy. I think Espada, as he's still just a first-year manager, has probably been able to grow into the role a little bit more comfortably. And I'm not saying that's like the whole reason for the turnaround or anything, but I think it's a lot easier for me as a fan to look at it like, okay, this is Joe Espada's team because he's not having to answer for Jose Abreu.
Yeah, I've come back around a little on Espada. You know, I think I'm cautiously so. I mean, we're at the halfway point or all-star break of his first season. But he's, you know, he's pulled the plane out of the nosedive here. There's been no bigger beneficiary than Joe Espada from them dumping Jose Abreu, because, and I'm not even talking about the attempted resurrection of Abreu, putting Espada in a position to say silly things. And mind you, Espada, who is not a huge, you know, it's not like he had 20 years worth of press conferences to kind of lean on as to how to handle these situations. Like, he's getting handed this situation as a first-time manager, not knowing what to say. So I'm a little more sympathetic in retrospect now. I think the biggest thing that it's done...
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that it's allowed so much more lineup flexibility. Like, you know, like the whole back end of the lineup now can be so fluid because you got multiple guys that can play first base, multiple guys that can play corner outfield, and you can really mix and match not only day to day, but in game as well, situationally.
No, well, not to mention, too, I think that a lot of the criticism of any manager is always, okay, like, how good are you at the small ball stuff? And it's really, really hard when you had Abreu draining a spot in your lineup, not only because of the production he couldn't provide, but because it's one less athletic guy you've got out there. And we've seen better and better small ball. I know, and there's still plenty of opportunities where people have issues with, or whether understandably or not, about small ball. That's just baseball. But I think they've been better at the small ball since Abreu's been gone. They've got a lot of athletes out there. I am still curious about not using your best relievers yesterday when you're coming up on an all-star break.
Yeah.
And they had the day off the day before. I get keeping the big picture in mind and everything. But Espada talked about it like it was like they were down by 7 runs or something. This is the Houston freaking Astros,
it's 2-1. You know?
Like, this is a one run game. I didn't get that. Like, I don't need to see Montero before the All-Star break.
No.
But I would love to see Presley and Hader before the All-Star break.
Text message. Not sure you want back in, Sean. He's been batting Yiner fourth and having Cabbage and Loperfido batting with runners on when you have Cesar Salazar on the bench. Okay. Cesar Salazar, is he Mike Piazza or something? I hadn't noticed that you should be using Cesar Salazar instead of Joey Loperfido and Trey
Salazar. Cabbage. Salazar has been good in a very small sample size, but yeah, he's not at the point yet where I'm like, Cesar Salazar's on the bench. There's no part of me that begrudges using or not using him at any given point.
He's your catcher also. Like, he's your backup. You got to be careful about using your backup catcher in certain situations, you know? And the Yiner batting fourth thing, I guess my response to that would be, with the lineup the way it is now, with Kyle Tucker out, who would you bat fourth instead of Yiner Diaz right now? Is it Jake Myers? Is it Jeremy Pena? Is it, you know, who is it that you, John Singleton batting cleanup? Like, I got no problem with Yiner batting fourth. The issue is you've got injury issues. You know, you've got Kyle Tucker who's out right now, you know?
Yep.
But, I mean, Yiner's batting in the 280s right now. He's been all right.
Yiner's been, he's still got some judgment issues. But just since, I arbitrarily picked what I thought was a month ago, but it wasn't, obviously. Okay, since June 25th, he's hitting 346 with a 760 OPS.
Okay. Wow, 340. He's batting 346, and he's got a 760. 346 for Yiner, I'd feel like he'd have a higher OPS there. That means he's probably either hitting a bunch of singles, or he's the only time he's getting on base is when he gets base hits. He doesn't walk a whole lot anyways. That's probably why.
Yeah, he's like in the Yiner. I like looking at Yiner's Baseball Savant page where they show you, they break it down by percentiles. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's his judgment at the plate is not awesome at all. He chases too much. He's improved in some respects, but his pitch framing is he's in the 1th percentile of pitch framing.
That's not the 1th.
yeah. Which the kid that they just drafted yesterday is. Apparently just incredible defensively. So when you're watching, when you're thinking about what might come in the future, they're optimistic about it. They're bullish on him, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but his actual defensive prowess is apparently very, very polished.
He's from
Corpus Christi originally. Grew up an Astros fan.
Yep, yeah, it goes to Sam. Walker Janik, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, but yeah, if you missed it, the Astros used the 28th overall pick to draft him, the catcher out of Sam Houston State University. Kind of a late bloomer. We're getting some grades for Joe Espada on the text page. C- for me. Oh, how the tides change. Now you want to jump back on the bandwagon. Coach Espada is human. He's not going to handle every situation the way we think is best. That was a separate texter than the one who gave him a C minus. I should point that out. So I give him a B minus right now. You know, I give him a B. You got to take everything in totality.
Tell you what, though, it's pretty. I give that criticism of you a D minus.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to jump back on the bandwagon now? Let me tell you something, Buster. Humans make mistakes.
Thank you.
I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. Are you excusing me or criticizing me? I can't tell.
People are sending in reasons to criticize Joe Espada still.
Yes. Give me these.
Okay.
Give them to me.
Someone says,
I will judge them valid or invalid.
What about the time where he asked the umpire politely to eject him?
Yeah, that was bad.
That was
bad. But again, that was because I blame Jose Abreu for that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I blame him for everything.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.